forgot when he sent it to me in the text, it just had the words. So he didn't say orange book, well, he didn't say orange book. It was in the text, and so I thought I did it wrong. I just typed the words as found it, so I guess I did get the right song. It's good to see everybody out. Hope that all are doing well. We appreciate everybody being here. We appreciate those who are visiting with us. We hope that while you've been here with us so far, you've already been encouraged and uplifted throughout our service to God and singing praises and remembering that great sacrifice that Jesus had made for us. And at this time, we ask that you open up your Bibles. Ask that you follow along as we go through the lesson this morning. Make sure the truth is being taught. And as we study the scriptures, that if there's anything that has been said throughout our worship or anything said during our lesson that you have questions about or believe that it's been misdone in the way it's supposed to be, we ask that you come talk to us. Let us study that further together and make sure that the truth is being taught. Appreciate Logan in the scripture reading that he has read for us this morning there in Philippians chapter 4. If you want to open your Bibles and keep your Bibles marked there, that is where we'll be preaching from this morning, using those verses and outlining the lesson. And as doing that, of course, referring to other verses, but we'll be referring back to these verses throughout each point of the lesson this morning. And so the title of the lesson is Peace That Passes Understanding. Peace That Passes Understanding. And that's coming right there from the text. Right? Verse 7 says that peace, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and the mind through Christ Jesus. So I hope that you'll follow along as I believe we can all say we desire a peace, right? We desire to find that relief, to find a calm in this world and the storms and everything that we go through and looking for that peace. And here it tells us how it can happen. It tells us where it can be found. If we're willing to truly search for it and want it, God is there to provide us with this peace that we want to have. Because we get tired of worrying, being anxious. We get tired of all the stuff that's going on. But with God, we can be at peace. And again, that doesn't mean that our times won't come. It doesn't mean that you won't get caught up in being busy and have to take care of certain things in your life, or that you won't get sick or you won't have money problems. But when you truly put your trust in God, is what we're going to see this morning, we can be at peace. And it causes others in the world to not understand why. They don't understand why you can be at peace when you're going through financial troubles. Why you can be at peace when you're going through sickness. Why you can be at peace when you're going through change, as Luke talked about Wednesday night. And so we can be at peace in all things that surpasses the understanding of mankind because it is provided by God. And so that's the first point. Give your anxieties over to God. Give your worries over to the Lord. That comes from verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So here, give it over to the Lord. Give it over to God. Don't hold on to it. Be anxious for nothing. 1 Peter chapter 5, looking there. And in verse 7, 1 Peter chapter 5, looking there in verse 7, here it reads, says, casting all your cares, or some translations will read, cast all your anxieties, all your worries, right? Cast all your cares upon him. For what reason, though? For he cares for you. Our God cares for you. He cares about how you are doing it. And we know that to be true. We know that to be true because we can just take time, again, study the entire Bible, but we take time to study about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We go back just a little bit ago in our worship and look and remember what we just took time remembering, the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Remembering that he left his home up in heaven, left his Father up in heaven, came down to this world, had to grow as a child into a man. Wasn't a rich man, wasn't once being looked upon as what we see in the scriptures.
And then he went through and he was betrayed, he was spat on, he was crucified. He went through all that for what reason? Because he cares for you. Because he wants to help you. He wants to aid you and assist you. And again, the biggest worries that we might have is, what is it? What about afterlife? What about those sins that I've committed? What does that mean? And he's able to what? Wash those away. He's able to remove your anxieties. He's able to remove your sins, your worries. Because we put our faith and our trust into him. In Matthew chapter 6. Starting there in verse 25. It says, therefore I say to you, do not worry. Right? Do not be anxious. Do not worry about your life. What you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valued than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to a stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, not even that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so loves the clothes, the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O little of faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? Right? And then verse 33, a verse that I believe probably a lot can quote. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Says, don't worry about it. Why? Because if you put God first, you put God first in your heart, in your mind, in your faith, in your belief, in your works each and every day, and you do everything wholeheartedly as unto the Lord, you serve him at home with your family, your spouse, your children. You serve him, and he's in your mindset when you go to school, or when you go to work, or when you're dealing with your neighbors, or you're dealing with your enemies, and you do everything wholeheartedly as unto the Lord. We're commanded to do in Colossians and Ephesians. It says he will make sure you have these necessities. He says he'll make sure you have clothes on your back. He'll make sure you have what you need to survive and not die of thirst. That you'll have what you need and not die of hunger. Don't have to worry about those things. He will provide. Because again, he cares about us. It says take a look around the world. Take a look. Just go outside and take a look at the trees and the grass. And all of the plants out there, the flowers, he says, look how they grow. How they got the water that they needed. How they got the sunshine that they needed. And how they don't do any work. They don't go and labor throughout the week to make money so that they can be clothed and they can grow and they get the nutrition that they need. God takes care of them. But guess what? Those things are going to be gone one day. Those things were burned up at the end of time when this world will be no more. So how much more does God care about you? Cast those things away. We want to have peace. Then trust in your God. Go to him and give these things over to him. Pray to him. Say, God, I've been struggling today with money. I've been struggling today with my relationship. I've been struggling today with this or that, and I'm giving it over to you, God. Help me. I trust in you. I'm not going to worry about it. You're going to do your part. You're going to work, and you're going to be ready to forgive if someone comes to you and asks for forgiveness, and you got that mindset of Christ in your heart. You've given them over to the Lord. Worry not. Let us stop being anxious. But rather, go the opposite direction and rejoice in the Lord. As we're told to do there, Philippians 4 and in verse 4. Philippians 4 and verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say, rejoice. It's always amazing when you have those verses that repeat And just, they have to, let's make the point straight. Let me say this one more time, right? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Kind of just like we just got done reading Matthew. How many times throughout those verses that we read, it says, do not worry. Jesus repeated it multiple times as he's trying to stress it, get it through their heads, trying to get it through our heads. Let's also this point up. There's a reason to be joyful, a reason to be happy. Yeah, you might be going through hard times, but guess what? God is still your God. Guess what? Jesus is still King. Guess what? He died, and his blood is there to wash your sins away. Nothing can take that away. He's always there for you to pray to. And your Bible is always there. Again, today we have, there's no reason that we shouldn't be able to get to a Bible. Because you're able to have multiple apps on your phone with many translations that help you understand what the Scripture is saying. And if you don't have a hard copy and you want a hard copy, let us know. We'll help you get a physical Bible in your hands. Rejoice in the Lord, right? John chapter 15 and verse 11. John chapter 15. Looking there in verse 11. As it reads here, it says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Right, you go up to verse 9, it says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept the Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you. For what reason? So that your joy may be full. We have the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The love of the Father who sent down the Son. Jesus, who loves us and loves the Father, who kept his commandments, now tells us to do the same. And he says, why? So that you can be joyful. So that you can be joyful. Anyone who would come to you and tell you that if you're going to be a Christian and you're going to be a follower of Christ, that means you can't have fun, you can't be happy, you can't be joyful, that is against the doctrine of Christ. Does it tell you to cast off drunkenness? Yes. Does it tell you to not lie? Yes. Does it tell you to go and ask forgiveness if you've done something wrong? Meaning you have to admit your wrongdoings and go confront others and tell them and apologize and seek the forgiveness and seek the Father's forgiveness. Yes. Are those things fine? Maybe not. When you have to struggle overcoming your temptations, or you have to give up things that maybe you did enjoy. But understand, as we gather together here, I hope everybody enjoys being with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Enjoys the singing as we teach each other, we encourage and we admonish one another through the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That we're joyful knowing that there's a home in heaven waiting for us, a life without pain, a life without worries, a life that will be able to walk the street of gold and be able to eat from the tree of life, to take a drink from the river of life, and to enjoy being in the presence of the Father and Son. Jesus says our joy to be full within this. Psalm 118. 118th Psalm, looking at verse 24. Psalm 118 and looking at verse 24. It says, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice. Again, we often refer to Sunday as the Lord's Day. Because we gather together and remember that sacrifice of Christ. You take time to study the Scriptures, I'm always kind of like, well, When you study the scriptures, usually the Lord's days refer to the day of judgment, the day that the Lord is judging whether a nation or the end of time. It's usually a day of judgment when it's the Lord's day. In the scriptures. But within this verse is making it clear, every day is the Lord's day, right? Because every day that sun comes up, we're able to get out of bed. It's a day the Lord has made. A day that the Lord is once more patient with you. A day that the Lord is allowing you to examine your life so that you can make sure that you are right and that you put off all sins and that you're ready for that day of judgment. Today is the Lord's day, the day that the Lord has made. Yesterday was the day that the Lord had made. And if we're blessed enough to wake up tomorrow, tomorrow will be a day that the Lord has made. And so if the Lord has blessed you to wake up, every day is a day that we should rejoice in our Lord. Let us be happy. Let us remember the blessings and the good gifts, because every good and perfect gift comes from above, as we're told in James chapter 1. Going back to Philippians 4 and verse 5, again, the next point to bring out here is let your gentle spirit be known by others. Let the world, let your family, let your brethren see the gentle spirit of God, the spirit of the Lord be inside of you and share that with others. Right? Verse 5, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. And so in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44, and you can read the few verses after that, you know, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Pray for them. Bless them. Let your gentle spirit be known. Right, because again, we've already talked about the love of God. We've already talked about the love of our Lord and how He loves us all. And we would read Romans, I believe, chapter 5, where it tells us God has demonstrated His love while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. I mean, while we were sinners, sinners are against the Lord, against God. They're the enemies. They stand opposed. We chose to separate ourselves from God and sin. But God showed His love, open arms, saying, come to me, all the labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, and I will forgive you. Confess your sins, and I will forgive you. We need to take that spirit put upon us that we are loving and that we have kindness. We have brotherly love for one another, that we are hospitable to one another, that we have open arms and ready to receive those who want to come and be with us as we worship God. To be part of the Lord's family here at Westside, to share in the unity, being part of the body of Christ. We want to have a peace. And when we're among one another, we have to be at peace with one another. We have to be kind to one another. Gentle and loving and showing a concern, right? As we talk about rejoice and we go back and we think about when we're talking about the body of Christ, we rejoice with those who rejoice in what? We weep with those who weep. Right? That's being on the both sides of it. That's a gentleness. That we're happy for others when they're happy, but we're also, you know, we hurt. When others hurt, we have to have gentleness to show to others. Kind of read this verse already when we talked about be anxious for nothing, but the latter part of that was to pray with thanksgiving. Right? Verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And so that mindset that we pray always without ceasing, right? Pray always without ceasing. Pray to God, let Him know. But also that the latter part of this verse says, with thanksgiving. Right? Because it's not all God help me here, God help me this, God give me this, God do this, God do that, God do this. Do we need to pray for God to help us in everything? Absolutely. Go to God and pray to Him for anything and everything that's going on in your life. But don't forget to give Him thanks. Make sure we're doing both sides of that, because God is there. God is helping. And the fact that He's willing to take time and listen to us, we need to be willing to give Him thanks. So 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. And in verse 18 says, in everything, everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Right? In all circumstances, in everything, give God thanks. That's hard to do sometimes when we're in the bad times. But guess what? If you're able to pray to God, it's a reason to give Him thanks. Thank you for your listening ear, God. And thank you for whatever answer you give me, whether it's a no, a yes, a maybe, a later. Whether when we're praying for something, that means, well, this is how you're going to get it. You're going to go through this hard time. You pray for patience. I'm going to put you through this, and you're going to gain patience. You know, you pray for you know, strength, and so He's going to push you in situations so that you can get stronger. Sometimes how it works out. Give Him thanks and everything. Again, pray without ceasing. Continue to pray in all things. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 34. As it reads here, it says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endures forever. Right, give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to God, for He is good. His mercy is always there. It endures forever. You know, when we go to Colossians and Ephesians, and it talks about singing, again, it's always, singing's almost always, not always, but almost always seems to be tied with prayer. Almost always. Right? Colossians 3, verse 16, you know, it tells us singing, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, giving thanks to God the Father. And we give thanks also. Right? When we see Jesus and the disciples go up the mountain, they went up and sang. Why did they go up the mountain? They went up the mountain to pray. When we read in Corinthians, it says, I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with understanding. And the next thing, I will pray with understanding. I will pray with the Spirit. Singing is going to help us rejoice. Because in James tells us, he who is joyful, let him sing. And then the prayer part steps, right? He who is sorrowful, let him pray. Let us make sure we're giving God thanks as He blesses us and is continuously always there for us. Let us receive the peace of God. There in verse 7. So on, we'll turn back over. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He's going to be there, and He's going to help you, and He's going to fill you with that joy and peace. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. As it reads here, it says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Right? The hope of God fill you with joy and peace, and believing that you may abound in the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. When we do these things, it's going to help us to be at peace. And I almost could finish the lesson right there, but he has these next verses that I believe go right along with it. So if you will bear with me, one more point to go through. Or two more points, but one more slide here. To go through is that as we have that peace and continue to be at peace, that means we got to control our mindset. Right? Verse 8 of Philippians 4 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Right? That we need to keep a pure mind if we're going to be at peace, if we're going to allow the news to control our mindset, the media to control our mindset. We're going to allow the ways of the world and what everybody else is doing and going through and not keeping a good moral mindset, not meditating on the good stuff, on the true stuff, on how honorable our God is and how we need to be honorable, how great our brethren are, how we need to focus on what is right than just focus, well, that's just wrong and that's wrong and this is wrong and that's wrong. How about what's good? What's a good report? What's a good, what people are doing that is correct? Point out those things. Let people get a pat on the back sometimes instead of always telling them where they've done wrong. What is pure? Right? Focus on the pure. When people celebrate anniversaries, think, man, you know, they're doing it right. They're not just getting together for a little while and divorcing and marrying the next person, moving on and just going from one to another, but rather they're being pure, representing that relationship of the bride of Christ, the church, and our Lord in their marriage. Or when others who obey the gospel, when they get up and they start help leading in worship, or those who help in teaching class, think on the pure things, the good things, love, good reputation. In Proverbs 23, verse 7. Proverbs 23. I'm looking there in verse 7. It says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says, but his heart is not with you. And so the first part of that, right? As he thinks in his heart, so he is. Let us have a pure mind. Let us meditate on the scriptures, daily searching them, daily praying to God, focused on that. Last point, verse 9, as it says, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Right? If we want to be at peace, then we have to be willing to submit to God. We have to be willing to obey him. We read it already when Jesus was talking, right? He said, I obey the Father, and you must obey me. If we want to get rid of our worries and anxieties, and we want to rejoice and our joy make us full, then we have to obey him. He knows what is best. The way of man is not in our mindset, in our hearts, to do on our own. It leads to death. And so trust in the Lord. In James chapter 1 and verse 22, James 1 and verse 22, it reads here, it says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. We don't have to just come together and hear the words as we study, or hear the words as we sing, or hear the words as we go through Bible class, but we have to be willing to obey. We have to be willing to submit to it so that we can be at peace and we can help others see the light of Christ and come to that peace themselves. We don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation this morning. If you're here and maybe you're not at peace because you've yet to give your life over to the Lord, you've yet to be willing to come and repent of your sins and let it be known that you've chosen to do that. Make that great confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and be baptized, washing those sins away. But you can do that. You can do that this morning. We'll assist you and help you. And as you do that, we'll help you along the road to remain faithful in his service. If you have done that, and maybe you're struggling in your service to God, and that's causing there to be a lack of peace in your heart, well, let us pray for you. Let us study with you. Let us help. If there's anything we can do, we let it be known as we stand and sing.
It's so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to